So this weekend, as you know, as Christmas gets closer, it's busy time. And this weekend was a little different weekend at church for us. On Saturday night service, Becky Fields, her stringed instruments, violins and cellos, played during service. They kind of did a recital during the church service. It was a church service recital together. It was actually really cool. And then at Danville today, they're doing a children's play during church service. So my whole point is I didn't feel like I could go on with Luke, because when you're trying to keep three services on the same, it just all gets crazy quick. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, we got to do something different, and it's got to be something short, because I'm going to have a lot of new faces, because not everybody that came to that recital comes to our church. You know what I'm saying? And not everybody's coming to that music or that play today comes to our church. So I was going to have a lot of new faces, but it had to be something short. And my whole point in telling you this whole setup is a lot of you have heard glimpses of what I'm talking about before. So I'm asking for patience and not throwing hymnals. All right. Patience and not throwing hymnals. But it's something that just near and dear to my heart. I believe the greatest gift, as Jim said, the greatest gift that was ever given was Jesus Christ. Amen. But another gift that he has blessed us with is his word. And I believe that it is so neglected. And there's so many people out there trying to get people to believe that it's archaic and that it doesn't have any youth. We use it. That there's people out there that won't even let kids quote it because they say it's not a solid reference point. There's people out there trashing the Word of God, and I just believe that we have to make sure they know that it is real. No matter what they say, it is the Word of God, and there's tons and tons and tons of evidence that supports that. So I'm not going through it all with you. Most of you know, but just glimpses of it. I just want to show you again. It just amazes me. Father God, I just pray that you would move in a mighty way. And I pray, Lord, you would speak. I pray you'd get me out of the way and you would speak. And I pray we'd be open to what you would have to say. And I pray, Lord, you'd forgive us for our sins. I pray you'd protect us. I pray we'd be humble and reverent before you. And I pray we would love you with every ounce of everything we have. Seek you and your kingdom above everything else and love others. Pray you'd move in a mighty way in this service, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As you know, Jesus fulfilled over 300 prophecies. That is astounding to me, right? I mean, there's tons and tons of evidence that proves that the Bible is true, and we've talked about that, and we've talked about the apologetics, those defenders of the faith, and all the evidence that supports the truth of Scripture, the accuracy of Scripture, that we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it is God's Word. It was not man-made. It was not written by man. It was God writing through man. He inspired it. All Scripture is God-breathed. He inspired it. And we've talked about the fact that there's so much evidence that there's even been brilliant people in the world's eyes who are atheists and agnostics who went out and they started to look into the evidence behind it and came back saved, right? We've talked about the Lee Strobels and the Josh McDowells and the Wallaces and the many others. And we've talked some about how history supports it and archaeology and science. But today I just want to talk just a glimpse on prophecy again. Jesus, like I said, fulfilled 300 prophecies. Just between the Old Testament and New Testament, what we would call the silent years or the quiet years, there was about 400-year span there. A lot of there were multiple prophecies that Jesus fulfilled that were 700 years before he came. 700 years. There are things that most people, as a normal human, you wouldn't be able to do on your own. How many of you got to pick your family? Come on, nobody picked your family? You would like to, you didn't get to. How many of you picked a hospital in the town you were born in? A normal person, a lot of this stuff was beyond them. But to show you how wild that is, I'll even use a new one today. For one person to fulfill 8 prophecies like that, you know what the statistical odds are? 10 to the 17th power. I can't grasp 10 to the 17th power in my brain. That's 10 with 17 zeros behind it. They said if you would cover the state of Texas with silver dollars. Has anybody driven across the state of Texas? It is, if I can say this, a crazy long state. It's big. It's a big state. If you would cover the entire surface of Texas with silver dollars, 2 feet deep, all of it, 2 feet deep with silver dollars, we would mark one of them, blindfold somebody, stir it all up, and they would walk out and pick up the one we marked on the first coin they picked up. That's the statistical odds of one person fulfilling 8 of those events. If you move it up to 11 events, it jumps to 10 to the 19th power, and that's the one you've heard me use over and over again. It'd be like me throwing my ring into the oceans, which is 197 square million miles, and somebody taking a boat out and hooking my ring on the first cast. My point is, there's no way. If we were prophets and we were guessing this stuff before it happened, you would have one chance of getting it right and 10 to the 19th power of getting it wrong. That's 11 events. He fulfilled 300. If you move it up to 48 events, it goes to 10 to the 157th power. Right? So if he fulfilled 48 of them accurately, the odds of that are one chance of it happen, and 10 with 157 zeros behind it. That's a big number, man. I don't even know. I mean, I don't even know where to start with that. For somebody to fulfill 300 events, only God. There is no other way. My point is, I know that you know this stuff, and I know that we talk about this stuff, and I know you're like, man, why do you keep pounding? Because there's people ripping this apart, and it's a lie. They're lying to your kids. They're lying to you. The word is true. The evidence demands it. There is no way that it couldn't be. There is no way man could have wrote that book. It's beyond us. It's beyond us. There is no possible way. There's no way Daniel could have talked about the empires of the world when he was dead. He was dead before Greece and Rome came around. How would he know? How would he know about the king of the north and the king of the south? How would he know? He's dead. It's not like you can just guess that. It's not like, hey, I think it's going to be cold in January stuff, right? It's dark at night. It's not general stupid stuff. It was detailed to the point. The only way it could have happened is God wrote it. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to talk about a couple events that have to deal with Christmas and just to show you how amazing it is. I'm in Matthew. If you have your Bibles, I'm in Matthew. I'm going to start in chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw a star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them, "Where is the Christ to be born?" Why did he ask them, "Where is the Christ to be born?" Because he knew it was prophetic. He knew it had been spoken of. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel." I want to start with this. If we were prophets, this group right here, and we were going to guess which tribe he was going to be born into, what's our statistical odds of guessing that by chance? How many tribes? 12. So you'd have a 1 in 12 chance. Clear back in Genesis, chapter 49. Verse 10 says this: "The scepter will not depart from you, Judah." The scepter will not depart from you, Judah. "Nor the ruler's staff from between his feet until he comes to whom it belongs, and the obedience of the nation is his." Clear back in Genesis chapter 49, it declared that it's not going to leave. It was Judah. You would have 1 in 12 chance of guessing that, and it was spot on. What about the fact that he was born in Bethlehem? That is back in Micah 5:2 says this. This, by the way, was written about 7 centuries earlier. 7 centuries earlier. But out of you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Out of you, Bethlehem. So for us to guess coming out of Judah, you would have a shot. 1 in 12, you got a shot at it. Out of Bethlehem, if we're prophets, Bethlehem is not the biggest city in the area. You with me? That's not the first pick in my world. If I had to guess one, I would go big city, right? Jerusalem, I would find something big. Your odds are better. The one guy, Grant Jeffrey, he said your odds of guessing Bethlehem correctly are 1 in 200. There's about 200 towns. You'd have about a 1 in 200 chance of getting that right. How did they know? Church, how do they know? What about this one? I'm over in Matthew chapter 2. I'm going to start in verse 16. If we're prophets, tell me if you would have guessed this one right. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. Would you have been able to sit there 100 years before and said, yeah, there's going to be a whacked out ruler who's going to kill every kid in the area 2 years and younger? Who does that? You can't even make that stuff up. How did he know? Jeremiah's dead. He's way dead. Like dead. Been dead for a long time, dead. How could he write this and be accurate? How would he know to that degree? I'll just do one more. Tell me if you would have guessed this one hundreds of years before it happens. Go back over to Matthew chapter 1. It's verse 22, 23. Tell me if this is one you would have guessed. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, how many of you would have guessed that? Yeah, sure. Yeah, I think, yeah, she'll be a virgin. She'll have a kid. Because that happens. That's sarcasm. Right? Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. This is way back. Great prophet Isaiah. Listen to what he says. It's not random. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Does it get more detailed than that? Does it get more specific than that? My point is, God has blessed us with a ton of gifts. The greatest gift of all is his son that he talked about way before he ever came, and his son fulfilled hundreds of prophecies to exact detail that nobody else could have done. The odds are astronomical. We know for sure that Jesus Christ is who he said he is. The prophecies prove it, and his birth and his ministries and his miracles and his death and his resurrection, it all proves it. The evidence demands it. The prophecy alone demands it. It shows us that he is the greatest gift that ever came. Jesus Christ is God. And another great gift he's given us, he gave us his word. Don't neglect it. He's an awesome God. He is worthy of worship. This season that we're celebrating, He truly is God stepping out of heaven, coming to earth. It really happened. It's not some fiction made up Walt Disney story. It's the way the God of gods and the King of kings saved us. Father God, I pray that we see the accuracy of your word. That when it's in context, it truly is true. I pray, Lord, that we are amazed by it. And we see the gift of it, that you gave it to us as a gift, a blessing to us. And Lord, I pray that we see the amazing, magnificent, awesome blessing you've given us through your Son. I pray that we fall deeper in love with you and we worship you as we grasp the idea that God put on flesh and stepped out of heaven and came to earth as a baby and grew up and died for us. I pray that we would be overwhelmed in awe and in love for you because you are worthy. We ask it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. If you will, please stand and turn to page 185.